how you spell Amaryllis. What's going on, everybody? This is the Cover Band Confidential Podcast, the podcast for cover band musicians and band leaders to learn to rock more and suck less in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm Adam Johnson.
In Greensboro, North Carolina, I'm Dan Ray.
Man, today was just a beautiful day. Just had the weather. You couldn't beat it with a stick. It's going to be nice and warm. And I got a really fun thing to do. I had to go over to my dad's house and fire up his 78 Silver Anniversary Corvette because he's coming home on Friday.
Awesome.
And, you know, I posted some things on social media, kind of like covering the whole thing. I don't talk a lot about my personal life here, but this whole year has been pretty rough trying to figure out what the future looks like. And my dad's doing really well. He's going to, I mean, they're going to discharge him on Friday as far as we know. So by the time you hear this, you know, he might actually be back in the house. And so part of that is making sure that everything is the way it's supposed to be, which included driving his cherry Corvette.
These things have to get run. You've got to start the engine every now and then, or it's bad. So,
You got to make sure that the credence in the 8-track is playing precisely the way it's supposed to.
Perfect. Yeah.
And, you know, I put like 50 miles on it, had to go pick our kid up and bring him back. And, you know, it's got to go into the shop, but I just wanted to make sure I cleaned out the engine, all the deposits,
obviously
opening it up a bit.
Good son you are.
Yeah, of course. I'm the best. How about you?
Much less good son. My parents were in town this weekend. My child was in a play. They were doing Beauty and the Beast. And she was narrator number 3 and a couple of other little bit moments in it. And my parents had never seen Beauty and the Beast. My mother, Beauty and the Beast. Da 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 da. It's like, whoa, no,
that's
not, no. And then my dad had it confused with at the end, you know, the Beast, spoilers, but, you know, Beast gets stabbed and it looks like he's going to die. I know.
Oh, man.
But my parents had never seen it. So my dad was like aghast, you know, oh, they killed him. They killed the Beast. And I'm like, this is Beauty and the Beast Junior. These are 3rd through 5th graders on the stage. They're not going to actually going to kill the Beast. There's a song about that, but they're not going to do it. But he did have a moment where it was like, well, is this like based on Romeo and Juliet or something? What's happening here? So it was a lot. It was a lot to take them. And we saw both of her performances. The first one was hot chaos. And the second one, they really got it together and it was much, much better. So
nice.
So had a good weekend with my folks in town here and grateful for their overall health for sure.
All right. Well, as far as like music stuff goes, I've been digging out of emails all week with it being on the road the week before. Some of those emails came from Gibson because that Epiphone video ended up doing very well.
Yeah, good.
It's currently hovering around 8,000 views and still, honestly, it's probably up there with the Rolling Stone greatest guitar player video as far as like engagement and comments, like lots and lots of comments.
Good.
Most of them fine. Some of them less than.
YouTube.
I mean, we are talking about guitar players after all.
And YouTube, yeah.
So, cool things coming up. I'm still prepping for the wedding gig in 2 weeks. I've got to figure out the logistics as far as driving, because it turns out that we have tickets to a baseball game the day after. And it's it's 3 hours away from where we are. So I've got to figure out where I am doing the actual event and how far I need to go to find a respectable hotel. And then how do I get to where I need to go the following day? So my itinerary got a bit tighter as we realized that, and talking through live band karaoke and wrapping up some contract stuff. We've got a couple of things where we've got some scheduling conflicts and I'm trying to weigh the importance of saying yes to a repeat customer versus giving them what I feel like we need to. It's start a band. They said it'll be
rewarding and there'll never be tricky negotiations involved.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about
that. So that's where I'm at right now in the music world. And it would just be nice to just pick a guitar up just for the heck of it. And I will say this, I've gotten a few opportunities to do that because our eldest, when we got back from Nashville, just walked up into the living room and grabbed one of the guitars off the wall. And he has played it every single day since we got back.
All right.
And I've been very like standoffish, like do not engage, like do not lean in any direction.
Yeah, show no approval.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm trying to reject my son as much as possible.
Uh-huh.
for fear that it may sway him from continuing.
That's right.
But he genuinely, he'll come down and he'll show me stuff, and it's been really neat. And I've definitely enjoyed that interaction, and it's been cool to like, hey, here's how you could play this, and show him some things, but like not try and take over any of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool little development in our household.
That's good. The only music I've got going on is I'm going to a conference for work, fly out tomorrow morning. And apparently at one of the parties, they are backlining a band. There are enough musicians who go to this conference regularly that we're going to put together something. And so I don't quite know how they're thinking about doing that, but I was invited to be part of it. And so I'll have train wreck stories mostly next week to talk about from that. Yeah, we'll see.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to reviews. Now, this is not quite a review. This is an email that came through in response to an episode we did a couple of weeks back. And it is from Ben from the Yacht Dogs. If you recall, we talked about Ben on the episode where we were going through the ins and outs of setting up websites and social media and all of that stuff. So Ben wrote us back after the episode aired. He says, hey, confidants, because we're still doing that.
Nice.
You guys are amazing. I can't thank you enough for your thorough and informed response to my email questions about websites and social media. I listened on Monday morning before my workout, and I have been super inspired to dive back in.
Cool.
I promised my wife we would finish our taxes before I did anything else with music that isn't directly bringing in money, but those got done a few nights ago, and I will be spending as much time as I can over the next week or so trying to dial things in on the website and start generating some content for the socials. Like many of us, I am a fairly busy person, but for me, this episode, not to mention the hundreds of other hours of content you've been generating for years, is well worth the price of admission for your Patreon group. See you there, Ben from the Yacht Dogs. And putting his money where his mouth is, he joined the Patreon on Friday and has been posting stuff and responding to other people's things. And he jumped in with both feet and was just ready to rip. So big thanks to Ben for reaching out. And I'll tell you, I couldn't say it any better than myself, you know?
Yeah.
If you want to be a part of the conversation and, you know, see what everything's about, Patreon's a good way to do it. $5 a month. You could spend that a lot more irresponsibly.
Remind me of something we just mentioned earlier that I thought about as we were mentioning it, that was a conversation that happened on the Patreon, which was, imagine if you had no responsibilities for the band, you could just show up and play. What would your rate be for that? What would you didn't have to load in, didn't have to load out, didn't have to market, didn't have to sell tickets, just playing. What's your rate? And my answer to that was $100, $100 an hour, no responsibilities, just playing, $100 an hour, won't pay a cent more.
Yeah. That's kind of hard for me because I've got like this thing that's coming up on the end of the month. Is a gig like that. And travel is pretty, you know, extensive, but I'm making over $600.
Well, that's good. That's good. Yeah. I was joking. Of course, obviously, you know, I would charge money for it rather than paying for the opportunity, but where I'm at right now, that sounds like a real treat.
No pressure. Just show up. I think I'm still in the $200 to $300 is kind of where I want to be.
Yeah.
That feels worth my time.
Yeah.
But this is one of many. And actually, this conversation we're going to dig into this week, which I guess we can just go ahead and switch gears.
We can dig in. Sure.
We've already done it.
Yeah.
Was actually something that came up through Instagram from a friend of mine named John Piz, who is up in the New York area. He found a funny video. It's this girl going, you're in a band, and it's like next to her, it says like age 20. And as she ages up every 5 years, her response about being in a band gets more and more disgusted. And, you know, in the comments of the video, it's like, hey, have you guys ever talked about what it looks like to age gracefully as a gigging musician? And I was like, oh, snap.
Yeah.
No. And so we brought it up on the Patreon. I actually put a poll up on Instagram, and it was a resounding yes, we should talk about this. And there was a lot of chatter about it on the Patreon Slack. So it's definitely a hot topic.
Well,
and something that I think we all need to consider.
And it resonates with me. I'm 10 days out from my 50th birthday, so I'm
that mazel tov.
Yeah, thank you. It's funny. You know, I think about people when I was a kid. People who were 50 were like way old, and you look at pictures of them now, and they were. I don't look like a 50-year-old from 30 years ago, right? We take care of ourselves different. We have skincare routine, 8 steps from Korea, whole thing I do. you know, this kind of changed the game in terms of what 50 means these days. But yeah, no, it's a notable, half century milestone mark, you know?
Yep.
That's a thing. So yeah, aging gracefully has been something I've been thinking about quite a lot, actually.
It's funny you mentioned like age is different nowadays because the Masters are this week and, you know, I live in Georgia, so there's a lot of that coverage.
Yeah.
But they were talking about how Jack Nicklaus won his first Masters when he was 23 years old. And they showed a picture of 23-year-old Jack Nicklaus. And I was like, holy hell, guy looks like damn near 40.
Yeah.
But of course, now I look at my face and then I look at his 23-year-old face and I'm 42. And I was like, I don't even know if I'd look that old now.
I know. Yeah. It's so, all different. It's all different. You know, we have sunscreen, for instance. That's a thing.
It's true. And so, look, you know, we all know that we're not getting any younger. Time marches on. And we have also been in situations where we have seen, this is actually a hard part of the conversation, was there were lots of examples of people not doing this well, mm-hmm. and fewer examples of people who had. So it's clearly something that is a tough needle to thread. And we just wanted to, we covered four main things that we think are important in order to do this. And so we're going to kind of go through that and see if any of that resonates with you guys. And of course, we always welcome your feedback, coverbandconfidential@gmail.com, or leave a comment on the video when it gets dropped on YouTube. So the one thing that came up more than anything else, and it's pretty universal, is that part of the essential of aging gracefully is staying in shape. So there's something to be said about being older, but still fit and able to, you know, carry yourself in a certain way while performing.
Yeah.
And I mean, we talk about this a lot, mostly around the concept of stamina, because stamina isn't necessarily something that is outwardly projected necessarily, but there is definitely things that you can do as far as fitness goes that not only build your stamina, but also may keep you trimmer as well.
Yeah, I would say as somebody who has had a lot of range of various amounts of fitness in the duration of my gigging career, I feel the difference between when I've been taking care of cardio and when I haven't. Mm-hmm. That's really clear in how gigging feels to me, among other things. You know, I'm right now a major evangelist for people getting tested for sleep apnea and getting on CPAP therapy. It's been really, really, really life-altering for me. Just in the last 6 months, I've been doing it. If you have any hint that you might be sleep deprived, which does, the incidence of that increases as you age.
Yep.
It's correlated with age. It's correlated with weight, but those aren't necessarily determinative factors. So you could very well have sleep apnea and be a thin young person. Happens all the time.
Genetics, for sure.
Yeah. If you have any hint that maybe you're not getting a good night's sleep and that's been a condition that's gone across some years, boy, a sleep test is easy to do. And as much as I was sure I'd never get used to sleeping with a mask on my face, it actually didn't take that much to get used to. And boy, does it make a difference. So that's a thing. I encourage everyone to check into that.
Well, I think like, as far as like health goes, like sleep is like number one, like singers.
Yeah.
Sleep is huge.
Yeah.
The rest and recovery part is paramount to pretty much everything else, honestly.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if your day doesn't start solid, then you can't really do any of the other stuff.
Right.
But yeah, I would say that there's a lot of things that, as far as fitness goes, that are beneficial to musicians specifically, cardio being one of them. You know, you hear all these stories about like Beyonce specifically would do her set on the treadmill.
Yeah.
Like
Taylor
running.
Swift. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
In kind of the younger world, there's this guy named Caleb Shomo who sings for a group called Beartooth. His workouts are literally, he just goes into his rehearsal studio with a microphone and does their show every single day. Whether he's on the road or off the road, he's a dude who used to be a bit heavier and lost a ton of weight. And now there's one of those guys that's like deadly focused on being successful, and it's really paid off.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's also a devastatingly powerful performer because he keeps up with it. It's always in the tank and he's like ready to go. And it's really inspiring to see him do that kind of stuff. I am one of those people that wears a weighted vest and tries not to make it my entire personality, but I am definitely, I've been pegged in public as the guy who wears the vest because I walk through our like downtown area and I've definitely been so, oh yeah, you're the vest guy. Like, I mean, that's not what I was trying to do, but it is a way to build up your endurance. It's, it, I notice it in day-to-day stuff, like during load-ins when my legs aren't burning because we're going up a flight of stairs with a bunch of gear.
Right.
Lots of dad moments where, you know, when we were in DC, I'm walking around with everybody's crap on my back and everybody's kind of like slogging behind me. And I was like, what's the big deal here? It's like, I've been training for this for months, right, apparently.
Right.
And I didn't even know it.
Yeah.
So yeah, yoga is another good one. If you hate running, there's so many other options. I loathe it and I try to avoid it if at all possible. But walking, running, any sort of cardiovascular stuff is good for you. Weight training, you know, it's good for aesthetics, but isn't necessarily going to give you any sort of musical benefit per se. Yeah,
not so much.
But, you know, it's important. Staying strong is good. And man, when I was doing CrossFit, I could do stupid stuff on stage. Like when we would do Working for the Weekend, I was doing like clapping push-ups during the instrumental breaks. Like it was stupid, totally unnecessary. But again, it's showmanship. It was a thing that I was able to do.
Absolutely.
And of course, you know, singers know that diet factors into a lot of this. So, you know, make sure you eat the right stuff and that kind of thing.
Yep.
But ultimately what you're looking to do is you're supposed to be in a condition where you are able to do what it is you want to do on stage and potentially not look gross doing it.
Yeah. And you can do that a long time into what you might think of as, you know, senior citizenhood. My folks are both in their late 80s and still pretty fit. They are on the treadmill every day, both of them, and doing good as far as that goes. They're a little, the fact that the stairs down from my front door didn't have a railing was a bit of a thing. I needed to get out in front of them and give them a hand, both of them down those stairs. And going up the risers at the theater where the show was, they needed help with those stairs too. But, and they, neither of them would put on a rock show at this point in their lives. But the point is, you know, it's a thing that you can still have attention on regardless of age. And if you are committed to putting on a show that, let's face it, what we do is physical.
Yeah.
It just is. And so you got to have a body that's ready to deliver.
There's this video going around on socials of Lenny Kravitz. He's at the gym with Joe Manganiello, of all people. I'm not sure why. Yeah. But he's literally in there. He's got his like his workout gloves on, but he's also got his mesh tank top and leather pants.
Sure.
And he's on like a decline bench holding a barbell with two plates on it, and they're like bumper weights, but it's like 65 pounds. And he's doing sit-ups where he does a full extension at the top of the rep.
Wow.
So he's going all the way down and then all the way up. And he probably did 15, 20 reps in this 30-second video.
Huh.
And it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. Because once again, he's Lenny Kravitz in his Lenny Kravitzness.
Right.
And he's also like crushing this workout. And there's people in the comments like, y'all know those are foam weights. I was like, you do that with 65 pounds.
Yeah. Just,
do one rep.
Yeah.
This guy's just crushing them at 53, no less, or right, 50, however old he is.
Yeah.
He's another one of those guys that like, I mean, I didn't even know he owned a shirt, but that's how you stay.
But if he does, it's going to be mesh, obviously.
And that's a part of his whole thing is that like he keeps up with it.
Yeah.
And that's why he, and it's interesting. I remember hearing something about that at some point he was probably in his late 30s and was hanging out with Mick Jagger. And Mick Jagger flat out told him, was like, if you want to keep doing this at the level that you want to do it, there's some stuff that you need to do. Mm. You need to change your lifestyle and stuff. So, you know, Mick Jagger is another good example of that.
Yeah.
But it's all about it.
Yep.
Now, why don't you go ahead and hit up the next one? Because this was something that you felt really strongly about.
Yeah. The word we wrote on our outline was adapt. But the concept here is aging's inevitable. Getting old is a choice. All right. So you have the ability to continue to engage with new music, continue to engage with younger audiences. You find yourself surprised at what younger audiences are interested in that isn't necessarily brand new. But if you decide that you are going to stick to your lane, classic rock, but you know, the whole thing that we make fun of on this show a lot, yeah, that's strongly correlated with aging, right? Right. I mean, mm-hmm, we've said that there's, you know, that's how that is. That's a choice. I have elected to listen to current music that's on the radio now and on the charts now. I'm watching those sorts of things. I'm aware of songs that are really hitting, learning them, playing them. And it's given me engagement with an audience that's younger than I would have thought would have any interest in me. And so that's just a piece of advice. Just adapt. Keep up with what's current. Don't just go with the flow of what you've always known. There are people who do that regardless of age, but I think as we get older, it becomes easier for our age to be an excuse about that And I'm here to tell you it is one option out of a whole universe of options.
Well, and the other point is, even if you don't agree with that sentiment, there is a particular reality to the situation of, you want to be a musician who can play in public. Let's say you want to play bars and clubs. Bars and clubs are frequented by younger people.
Yeah.
So if you want to be able to play at those places, you have to be able to play music that the people who frequent those establishments want to listen to. So if for no other reason than you want to keep working, that's something that you've got to be willing to do.
Yep.
Because there's so many groups and posts on social media where it's just these people that are just so dead set in their ways. And they're like, kids these days don't know the first thing about yada, yada, yada. And it's like, if you stay in that lane, you will age yourself out of this job.
Yep.
Full stop.
Yep.
So you got to keep up. You got to keep with it. Just find something. Find some sort of through line. Find a way to make it work for you.
Yeah.
If you want to keep doing this.
Yeah. Because there are actually some really great music happening right now.
100%.
Now, counterpoint, I will say, at the last live acoustic karaoke I played, I had my 10-year-old and three of her friends singing my entire Beatles catalog. So that's good. I'm glad that's happening. It's a sign that at least a few of them are being raised right. But that's not the general purpose use case for our music. We need to be able to, because listen, I throw down Take Me to Church, and the room stops and frickin' listens. Like, part of it is it's a very shouty song that I do at full tilt, but also it's a great song. It's not, more than a few years old, and people know it, people are into it, and it's a showstopper.
Fair play. It was released 11 years ago.
Well, all right. Fair enough. Still.
Yeah, man. It does get just sneak up on you. Just
it does.
Like, oh, this is a new song. Well, it was a new song.
It was a new song. Yeah, fair enough. This 10-year-old's also completely sang along with Mr. Brightside. So that one's not going anywhere. That one, the next generation has that one, and it's going to stay what it is for at least another 30 years, probably.
Definitely. All right, this is the one that I think is probably the most contentious.
Yeah.
And the one that we're probably going to have the most fun talking about.
Yeah.
Which is Dress the Part. And this is the one thing that I think is the easiest to screw up. And kind of tip your hand, show whether you are or you aren't a certain age. And this is the thing that I think a lot of people have, like, examples of people doing this poorly. And there's maybe not as many of people who do this fun.
It's interesting because even people who aren't, you look at them and they seem to do it. There are a few people who can pull it off even when they're doing it poorly. So we'll cover those too.
So Dan and I came up with a handful of different categories. Now, you'll have to forgive us. Believe it or not, there are women who listen to this podcast, and we are not going to speak for them as far as these kinds of looks, because frankly, it's not our place to. And this is just more fun, I'm being honest.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess if I was going to, as women age in the music business, it seems like the sensitivities are all different. It's just a different game. You know, Stevie Nicks these days is respected and looked at in ways that are completely different from how it was back in the 70s, but in different ways than men are as they age. It's a really interesting dynamic. So we're just going to stay with the dudes for now because we are.
So here are some of the categories that we came up with that I think you will find out in the wild as you you go through your gigging experience. The first one I'm going to call corporate rock man.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the musician who understands that he needs to dress up for the show.
Yes.
But does it in a way that is still, even in its quote unquote newness, it's a bit dated, which is the button up shirt that might have like a funky pattern on it and like jeans with fancy back pockets, like things that were kind of like fashionable in the early to mid 2000s. That's kind of like its own lane. You can find entire bands of the corporate rock band.
I played with a guy who had gig shirts that were button down shirts that had guitars or music notes or something on them. They were about music. They were topical, right? Which is dorky in its own whole way.
We talked about the guitars on shirts situation.
Yeah.
And it's a step up from what we're calling the Warren Star tap out affliction musician.
Yeah, Ed Hardy. Yeah.
Which are the busy t-shirts
with
the too many patterns.
Yeah, you haven't grown out of writing your band's name in spiky gothic letters.
Bleeding Cowboys.
Yes, that whole thing.
And you're probably wearing like pointy toed boots.
Yeah, if your jeans came torn up in artful ways, think hard.
But you paid like way
more for that. Yeah, if they have leather components in them, if the fly is leather.
Yeah, there's probably going to be some wristbands.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and necklaces. Yes.
Yes, multiple.
Yeah.
Not just one.
No.
And if it is one, it's like really long. And again, it is a look that served a purpose at a time that has come and gone.
Yes.
But has the look itself has persisted.
Yeah.
And kind of in that line is the how do you do fellow children's look, which is somebody who is wearing something that does not match their age, face, demeanor, body style. Right. Like it just looks weird.
It telegraphs their age. It doesn't cover their age. It like screams their age because they're trying so hard to not be it.
I worked at the mall when I first got out of college, and there was a guy that was easily in his mid to late 50s with like obviously dyed jet black hair and shopped at Hot Topic. But it wasn't like he had shopped there his entire life. It was like 7 months ago, he went through a thing and this is how he's handling whatever that is.
Yeah. Went through a thing.
It's not good.
No.
And it doesn't make, it somehow makes you look older than you actually are.
Exactly.
When you're trying that hard to look younger than you are.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to go ahead and call myself out, because this is the lane that I feel like I occupy. And I don't know if I coined the term, but I'm taking credit for it.
Sure.
So I would consider my fashion just in general as I refer to it as elder statesman. So the idea is I dress like a guy who used to skate.
Yeah.
Or maybe still skates now every once in a while, but you know, not as much. I feel like that's a pretty safe lane to occupy for guys kind of in my stage of life, over 40.
But still super into the Tony Hawk soundtracks.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're still listening to Goldfinger.
Yeah.
Any chance we get.
Absolutely.
And that's going to be like your flat brim hats, right. you're wearing Vans, you're going to be wearing slimmer jeans, maybe not skinny jeans. I've already said I've aged out of skinny jeans. It just doesn't fit it doesn't fit, period.
Right.
Flannels, plaids, black t-shirts, that's the vibe that works for me for the most part. So if you're looking for a potential look to transition to, consider elder statesman if that kind of matches your vibe and your aesthetic. That's a suggestion for you. I want you to name this next one because it's the one right below that on the list.
Redneck granddad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell us about redneck granddad.
Well, around here in North Carolina, at least, there's a strong sort of country folk, especially in the like songwriter, singer-songwriter kind of area. Not a one of them under 60, not a one of them without a long white beard. You will remember Jeff Wall, Big Dumb Hick. He would proudly tell you he's in that category. But, you know, that's a look people adopt as they age that is very much about leaning into the age. I have seen some young people rocking that same sort of rockabilly adjacent, long bearded, motorcycle club, vintage kind of, I think that's all in that same sort of bucket. And so we see a lot of that around here, at least for certain categories of performers.
I feel like rockabilly is a bit more kempt though.
Yeah.
That's your pompadours.
There's a fair amount of grooming involved in rockabilly. Yeah. More so than the country folk. Yeah. Vibe.
It's the ZZ Top adjacent kind of vibe.
Yes.
But
yes,
instead of wearing like cool matching suits, they've got flannels with the sleeves ripped off and overalls and that kind of thing.
Denim vests.
Yep.
A lot of that. Yeah.
Definitely. And then this is where I think most, because I mean, we've talked a lot about this is like, are we talking about like professional rock stars? Are we talking about like regular Joes? But this one, I feel like ultimately kind of leans towards the professional rock stars.
Yeah.
And I just coined the term fun grandma. Picture in your mind's eye what Mick Jagger looks like today. That is what I consider fun grandma.
Or Steven Tyler.
Steven Tyler also.
Yeah.
Kind of a flowy, kind of blousy.
Blousy, kind of top. Yeah.
the hair is longer, but not long, kind of wavy, kind of in the mix there.
Yeah.
And
probably, you know, dyed, often dyed.
Yeah, probably. And same thing, necklaces, maybe a little jewelry. But if you look at what Mick Jagger does at a Rolling Stone show, and actually I had shared this post, he was somewhere and there was a cover band playing and he was just out there dancing. I was like, fun grandma.
Well, and they were were playing moves like Jagger, and there he was moving like Jagger. And
yeah.
And he called out the band, the band's name in his post. It was super cool, right? Mick Jagger's pulling off the fun grandma look.
And so I see in the local scenes, there's definitely a lot of guys that are aiming for fun grandma.
Yeah.
That may or may not hit that target, but ultimately, I don't feel like I don't see fun grandma in my future.
No,
I just don't think that's the path that I'm headed towards.
Yeah, no.
And outside of all these different, you know, funny tropes and cliches and that kind of thing, there is just you being you who happens to play music. I would think you, Dan Ray, is kind of the, I'm just Dan Ray who plays guitar.
I'll tell you, I in my life and in my stage presence, there's like a lot of neutrality about how I dress and present myself. I'm very much like I don't wear shirts that have logos on them very often at all. And pretty much as I gig, I'm a khakis and t-shirt or khakis and Henley shirt kind of guy. And that's been my stage vibe forever. Now, as I contemplate this 80s project that I'm starting, I'm going to need to add some flair, right? It's not going to sell the story, right? It's not going to fit the brand. But yeah, when it's just me doing acoustic, or I'll spice it up a little bit when I have the band going. But yeah, mostly I don't put on a particular thing to go on stage. It's mostly just my own sort of default style.
And that's how we're going to wrap this up, because ultimately the thing that's going to make you seem like you are aging gracefully as a musician is being authentic to who you are as a person.
Right.
And I know a lot of musicians that are like that, where being a musician is a part of who they are, but it's not something that is their entire persona necessarily.
Yeah.
And I definitely know people who have made being in a band or playing rock and roll music their entire life, and they, to varying degrees, start to get to a point where maybe it doesn't work anymore. Now, that being said, there is this guy who is a waiter at a restaurant by us who is in his 50s. Like, I think he's like 54, 55. Dude is jacked. And he's got like crazy flat iron, jet black hair, wears makeup every single day because he's this industrial goth artist. And if you didn't know that he was in his 50s, like, you wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Because he takes very good care of himself. And that, it is kind of silly, because you're like, I'm at a tapas restaurant, why are you dressed like that?
Yeah.
But he is authentic. That's who he is.
Yeah.
Because I know people who have known him since the 90s, and they're like, yep, he's been like this the entire time. And looks great.
Yeah.
He's jacked. I'd killed for abs like that. And I was like, all right. Respect to the game.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that most people can sniff out is when somebody's dressed a certain way or acting a certain way that isn't really who they are.
Yeah.
I think that's what becomes really apparent, and what ends up kind of not passing as the real deal. And you end up kind of looking worse off than you probably want to.
Yeah. It's really amazing how well refined humans are in the sniff test for authenticity. Like, you know, we can just see it a mile away when somebody's putting on an act, or you don't even necessarily have to walk around being a particularly suspicious person. You just see it. And so when somebody's trying to age down, or they are arguing for their decision not to adapt, right? All of that just rings like, you know, somebody's fighting for something that doesn't work here, and pushes audiences away.
And we're not saying don't dye your hair, or don't wear leather pants if that's like what you want to do. Just like, make sure that it's something that you would do outside of the context of this, if it makes sense.
Well, and maybe check in. Maybe get a second opinion, right?
Yeah.
We often get down rabbit holes of our own opinions, or I've done this way forever. And just like, hey, you think this is still working for me? Feel free to say, you know, what the real truth. Like, if you think it's time for me to move on from the leather pants, what do you think?
I mean, I think... I would say if you're contemplating maybe should I still be wearing leather pants? Like, it's time.
Maybe the question answers itself.
Yeah. Sometimes, like, even just the fact that the doubt exists shows that,
you know
more than you're letting on.
Yeah.
I've owned a couple pairs of leather pants. They have not, they didn't survive my 20s, at least in my possession. They got sent off to better, cooler homes,
right,
I suppose.
Right.
That makes I did find a box of these old show pants, and I'm terrified to even stick a leg in one of them because I doubt they would fit. But man, the early 2000s were wild.
Yes.
I had some lace up jeans with like American flag painted on them that were like bell bottoms at the end. And
awesome.
Yeah. I got some weird britches, y'all.
Yeah.
But you won't be seeing those at any of my upcoming shows.
Yeah,
I'm sure you
don't. Yeah. No, I want here in Atlanta, Georgia, Adam Weird Bridges Johnson.
Weird Bridges Johnson. There he is. Always wearing them weird britches. Weird
britches.
Any passing closing thoughts?
No, you know, just do you and don't do something that's not you.
I love it. And ask for advice.
And ask for advice. Get outside your
own
head.
Get a second opinion.
Yeah.
Just like anything else, get a second opinion. All right, folks. If there's anything that we missed, or if you can think of a better category than elder statesman or fun grandma, let us know.
Yeah, or if you want to make an argument for Worn Star Tap Out being an appropriate thing to wear as you age.
Please do.
Yeah.
coverbandconfidential@gmail.com. Leave those in the comments. Man, this is a fun conversation.
Yeah.
I'm glad we stuck with it.
Yep.
Thanks for supporting the show, guys. If you want to do your part, you can do any of the stuff that Mike's about to tell you, but I'll go ahead and call it for this week. Atlanta, Georgia, I'm Adam Strange Bridges Johnson.
In Greensboro, North Carolina, I'm Dan Plainclothes Ray.
Was it Silly Funny Bridges?
Spicy Bridge. I don't know, something.
You've been listening to the Cover Band Confidential podcast for the week of April 19th, 2024.
Hey everybody, it's Mike Schulte from the worst named band in America, the Pork Tornadoes. I listen and love this show, and apparently you do too, because you made it this far. No one makes it this far, but you did, which means that you owe Adam and Dan. This podcast is free and you consume it to its fullest. It's time to pay up. Here's three things you need to do. A, you have to leave them a review on your podcast platform. You're already in the app. Click 5 stars right now. Write some words. Done. While you're there, share this episode to a fellow musician. There's a share icon on your podcast app. Text it to him and say, you need to listen to this. You need to get better. You're not a good musician. This will help you. 2, you have to follow them on your social media platforms, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Go find them and follow. And D, everything I just said is free and it's the least you can do, but here's where you can really support. You join the Patreon. This is where you can actually support this podcast that you cherish so much. A small monthly donation gets you access to the Slack channel, which is the best place to be if you're a musician who wants to take your band to the next level. You have some of the best musicians giving advice and helping you out, and it's just a great overall community. Do it. I'm serious. Do it now. Do all these things, or else the Pork Tornadoes will come to your town, book a show the same night as your band at a different bar. I'm serious. We'll do it.